Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
If you have your Bible with you, maybe you could turn to Genesis 37. We're going to look at this morning at the life of Jacob. We've already looked in the past at his younger life, and I just want to look today at a period of time when he is an older man. We're going to look at Genesis 37. In particular, I want to look at verses 34, 35, 36, but if we begin in verse 26, just to get a little bit of a picture of where we are in the life of Jacob this morning. So we'll begin at verse 26 and read through to the end of the chapter in verse 36. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern, he saw that Joseph was not there. He tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Okay, David, you can put the PowerPoint up for me. Thank you. Anyone who's familiar with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory will be familiar with the immortal words of Veruca Salt. You'll maybe remember this from the film. "I want today, I want tomorrow, I want to wear them like braids in my hair, and I don't want to share them. I want a party with roomfuls of laughter, 10,000 tons of ice cream, and if I don't get the things I'm after, I'm going to scream. I want the works, I want the whole works, presents and prizes, sweets and surprises in all shapes and sizes. And now, I don't care how, I want it now. I don't care how, I want it now." The words of a spoiled and precocious wee girl. But if we take a step back and we look at ourselves, and we look at the society that we live in, then that's pretty much our thinking too. We live in a world that could use that song as its anthem. "I don't care how, I want it now." Everything around us is made to be given to us instantly. That's how we want things. And consider some of the phrases that didn't even exist when some of us were children. We've now got instant messaging. We've got Instagram. We've got on-demand TV. We've got instant credit. One cosmetic company even has a product that claims to have instant age rewind. Who doesn't want some of that? And this is now our expectation. No one wants to wait for anything anymore, and our patience is gone. The average attention span on YouTube is just a couple of minutes long before people click to look at the next thing. Sad thing is that this attitude can kick down into our faith. God promises believers goodness and mercy, doesn't he? Isn't that the promise to us? But we want the blessings on our terms and our timing. We want all the good stuff that God has to give, but we want it now. We work out what we think is best for us, and we work out what we think is the best timing that it should be delivered to us at. And the end result of that is that we're disappointed. We're disappointed when the blessing doesn't come as we understand it should do. Or it certainly doesn't come quickly enough for us. what's the end result of that? We assume that God doesn't hear our prayers, doesn't perhaps love us. We maybe assume that we're not even a Christian in the first place. And maybe you've decided that you've been waiting just for too long for God to act in your life, so you give up trying. The passage that we've just read breaks into the life of a now aged Jacob. We've looked at his younger life in the past, and now he's an older man. And we're breaking into Jacob's nightmare scenario. His beloved wife Rachel has died in childbirth. His dad Isaac has died as well. And now he gets the news, albeit the fake news, that his favourite son, Joseph, has been killed by some wild animals. So where was God in Jacob's life now? Where was the promised blessing? If you look back, you'll see what God promised him. He said this. He said, I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. So where was God now? Where was the blessing? Maybe you're looking for God at the minute in your life. Maybe you've been waiting for a long time for some prayer to be answered. Maybe you're like Veruca Salt. You want the blessing, but you want it now. God just doesn't seem to be there. God just doesn't seem to be showing up in the situation that you're praying about. So this morning, I just want to take a look at this passage and encourage you to keep going. Someone said to keep on keeping on. Through the good times, through the hard times, through the times when it seems that God just isn't there. As we look at this last part of Jacob's life, we can see clearly that God is there all along. And that eventually, when the timing was right, and when God's time was right, he revealed his plan, and that he revealed his blessing for Jacob, and he revealed his blessing for Jacob's family. And I'd particularly like us to consider, even amidst these horrendous events that were going on in Jacob's life, that God was there in the hard times. God was there for the long haul, and God was there when all hope was gone. Have a look at verse 34 if you have your Bible still open. Do you ever ask that question, why God? Why is this happening? And at this point, Jacob must have been questioning God's promise to him. He must have been questioning if God was even there at all. Your promise was to watch over me, God, was it not, wherever I went? So tell me this, why is my son dead? Where was your protection when I needed it? Where was your protection when Joseph needed it? We probably ask questions like this as well. Why me? Why my family? Where was your protection when I needed it? Where was your protection when my children needed it? Of course, we have the benefit of the full story, don't we? And we can read on to chapter 46 to an emotional reunion with Joseph. And it says this, as soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. And what a reunion. And how long was this gap? 22 years or thereabouts. Now think about that. How long have you been praying? How long have you been praying for your unbelieving child? For a meaningful relationship, for the pain to go away? How long have you been praying? 2 days? 2 weeks? 2 years? Are you growing impatient as you wait on the Lord? Jacob didn't see God's blessing for 22 years. And Jacob had to trust God's direction, as bitter as life was, for 22 years. Look at verse 34 again, and we're going to try and put ourselves in Jacob's shoes. Verse 34 says this, then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son for many days. The man is devastated, and he has no idea what's going on here. He can't see what we can see. What do we see? We see that God was working out his plan through Jacob's life. And he's just placed Joseph exactly where he needs Joseph to be. And when the time's right, Joseph will be a blessing to Israel and will in fact fulfill God's promise to his father Jacob. But Jacob can't see that now. He'll understand it later, but he doesn't understand it now. It doesn't make sense now, but it will make sense later. Maybe you're a Christian and you don't understand what's going on in your life right now. Maybe it doesn't make sense right now. But we can be assured of this, that it will do later. Because God is there in the hard times with us. Of course, we have no better example than Jesus himself. Think of Mary, his own mother, who stood at the foot of the cross and she didn't understand. The other Mary was weeping at an empty tomb and she didn't understand. Peter more than didn't understand. Peter gave up. Peter lost hope. He returned to his old job as a fisherman. But you know what? God's plan became clear when Jesus rose again. John 2:22, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. See, God was there all along, rolling out his plan to save his people. So believer, never ever doubt this. God has your best interest at heart. He has the best interest of this fellowship at heart. And whatever happens, one day we will look back and we will understand and we will see the hand of God in the middle of our trouble. The other thing I'd like to look at from Jacob's life is this, that God is there for the long haul. Think back over the last years with the friends that you've had. Truth is this, that friends come and go. Some just drift away. Some we maybe had an argument with, but fell out with them, and then we didn't see them again. Do you ever have friends move away? You promise to keep in touch, and you never hear from them again. But here's the thing, God stuck with Jacob. Someone once called God's loving hold on a sinner the grip of grace. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:28. He said this, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. You see, in these troubles, God was changing Jacob. During all of the circumstances, the good times and these bad times, God was holding on to him. He was in the grip of grace. And to enjoy a relationship with God, Jacob needed to be changed. For you and me to enjoy relationship with God, we need to be changed. I wonder, do you think that your family are slightly weird? I know that mine are. Okay? And if you read the full story of Jacob's family, you'll see that no matter how weird you think your family are, Jacob's family are going to make them look like the Waltons. Even Jeremy Kyle wouldn't have Jacob's family on his show. Now, if you read Jacob's story from the beginning, you'll see that Jacob himself was impatient. He was selfish. He was a cheat. But God intervened in his life. And in every situation that God brought into his life, Jacob was being changed. At one point, Jacob literally fought with God. But God saved him, and God changed him gradually. Day after day, year after year, Jacob was being changed. And in these troubles, even the troubles, Jacob was experiencing God's grace. The undeserved love, the undeserved kindness, the undeserved favour of God. See, the older Jacob that we meet here in chapter 37 is a vastly different person to the young Jacob that we read about in Genesis 25. But isn't this how God deals with us? Isn't this our testimony? Remember what you were like before you were saved. God moved in your life. And you realized that day that you were a sinner and that sin would keep you away from God. It would keep you out of heaven. It would keep you out of God's presence for all eternity. Then you saw Jesus at Calvary and you trusted in his cross and you were saved. But since then you maybe have failed. Times you might have slipped back to your old ways. And sometimes you might not really feel like much of a Christian at all. And we all feel like this at times. Do you ever ask yourself, why did I do that? If I was a real Christian, I would not have done that. But remember this, a real Christian is simply a repentant sinner who's trusting, who's looking to Jesus to save them. Jesus has already paid the price for our salvation. But remember this also, God has his grip on your life. Don't forget that. And as he changed Jacob, he'll be changing you. Jesus isn't going to leave the ones that he died to save. They are in the grip of his grace. So he's working to change you so that you can have that relationship with him, so that you can spend eternity with him. And when this happens, he will be glorified. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you unblemished in his glorious presence with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all time, and now and for all eternity. God's there for the hopeless. Have a look at verse 35. Wonder if you ever crossed the Carrickarreeg rope bridge. One of the things that I love to do in the summer is just to sit and watch people's faces when they're halfway across the bridge. Some people enjoy it and they just breeze across, they just walk across. But there are other people and they're the ones that make it fun. They start to look down and then they feel the bridge sway from side to side. And when you look at their faces, they are in absolute horror. Some freeze on the bridge. Some close their eyes and they wish that they were anywhere else in the world but on the rope bridge. There are some people that are coaxed to cross the bridge and then they spend hours on the island dreading the time when they have to cross back to the other side. See, the thing is, some people simply trust that the bridge can carry them. But many people don't trust that the bridge can carry them. We all live our lives like this. Our joy, our peace, our contentment generally depends on who or what it is that we trust in. We all reach out to some support mechanism that upholds us. Sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes not so good. And for some it's family, for some it's money, maybe for some it's an addiction. And of course, believers, it certainly should be the Lord. But even believers at times forget to trust. And sometimes our idols can take his place. And there are times when we need a wake-up call in our lives to bring our focus back on to Jesus. C.S. Lewis famously wrote that God whispers to us in our pleasures. He whispers in our pleasures. He speaks to our conscience. But he shouts in our pains. He shouts in our pains. Let's try to consider Jacob again for a moment. Try to imagine where he was at this time in his life. Suddenly, everything was taken away. The things that he loved were taken away. His dad Isaac died of old age. His wife Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. And now, the apple of his eye, Jacob, Rachel's oldest son, is dead too, apparently. The support and the comfort that was around him, suddenly all gone. And look at how he reacts. Look at verse 35. He says, "No, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." And this is an understandable human reaction, of course. Jacob gave up. Jacob lost hope because he couldn't see a future for himself. But God had brought Jacob to a place where, in human terms, he was hopeless. But why would God do this? Maybe you've been in that place, and maybe you're in that place right now. That place where, in human terms, you feel helpless, utterly helpless, and utterly hopeless. I've been there when the doctors have nothing to offer, when the pain won't go away, when the reality of the death of a loved one kicks in, when loneliness is too much to bear. Maybe it's the weight of your own sin is crushing you. What do you do when you're here? Who, where, what can we turn to at times like this? It's been my experience that this is where we find God. And this is where we will find Jesus. And this is where we will find true and solid and a lasting joy. Let's look for a wee second at what the Bible has to say. Matthew 11, you don't need to look it up, I'll just read them. Matthew 11, 28, 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Depending on the version of the Bible you're using this morning, verse 36 begins with one word or one phrase that begins, meanwhile. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. And this one little word reminds us that whatever's going on in our lives, at the minute, whether it's a hard time or it's a joyful time, sometimes unbeknown to us, God continues to work out his plans. And although Jacob didn't know it, God was working for his good. And he was working for Joseph's good, and he was working for Israel's good. We don't know what God has planned for us for the future. We can't understand now why, what it is that we are going through. Sometimes it's just hard, and that's all that we know. So what do we do in the meanwhile? What do we do in the meantime? And as I come to an end here, I just want to share with you from Scripture and from my own experience just a few things of how we live out this time of in the meanwhile. First one is this. We need to understand that God's timing is different to ours. We're like Veruca Salt. We want it all, and we want it now. But God knows what we need, and God knows when we need it. Second thing is that we need to trust. Like the people who walked confidently across the bridge, they trust the people who made the bridge. So we must trust the one who made us to guide us through the difficult times. Finally, most importantly, we need to pray. So when you're at your wit's end and you don't know where to turn, then tell the Lord about it. Psalm 62, pour out your heart to him. Whatever it is, tell Jesus about it. And in the end, 22 years later, it worked out for Jacob. God revealed his plan, and God was there all along. Jacob was joyfully reunited with Joseph. God worked it out for Jacob, He worked it out for Joseph and he worked it out for Israel, and ultimately he was working it out for you and me. As God will work it out for those who trust in his Son, Jesus. And there'll come a time in the end, in the future, in eternity, when we will understand. And all of the glory will be to him. Thanks for listening. We're just going to sing our last song together before I close in prayer.